So today, as we conclude the month, Rosh Chodesh, the 30th day of Adar Rishon, we're also going to conclude the book of Shemot. We're going to read the last few verses of Parshas Pekudei, and tomorrow we're on to a Maimon moment. The book of Exodus has 40 chapters. In the final chapter, we speak of God's glory, the presence of God that rested in the Mishkan. And this is also about glory on the go, as you'll see. So in Pasuk Lamed Hey, with the reading of Mafter. First we start off in Pasuk Lamed Dalad. It speaks about the glory of God that covered the proverbial tent of meeting. Kvod Hashem, the honor or the glory of God, fills the entire Mishkan. We hear of Moshe Rabbeinu not being able to enter when the tent or the presence is there intensely. And then when it lifts, which means it remains hugging the tent of meeting, but it lifts slightly, then Moshe Rabbeinu was able to enter. And then the Torah begins to talk about journeys. We know that the tent of meeting goes live, if you will, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the first journey was only on the 20th day of Iyar. So the time the glory of God settled in the tent, it was there for a full 50 days. And the Torah kind of leapfrogs forward now and talks to us about the moving, the leaving, the glory on the go. In verse 36, Uvehe oleis ha'onon mi'al ha'mishkan. And so when that cloud of glory would lift from the Mishkan, Yisu b'nei Yisrael b'chol ma'aseim. That's when all the people of Israel moved. That was how their travels went. The Seferno in Chumash Bamidbar says that the Anon, that the cloud would hug the Mishkan, and then when it would lift up, the cloud would lift up, the people would know it was time to move. That's how they knew it was time to move. And there would be trumpets and the other things that there was a way to get the message out, but that was the way the cloud lifted and they knew they were going to move. And then verse 37 says, Vim lo ye ole ha'onon, if the cloud doesn't lift, v'lo yisu ad yeim he'olase, if the cloud didn't lift, there was no moving. The moving was always contingent upon the cloud. Cloud remained in the Ohel Moed. The Jewish people remained camped around the Ohel Moed. The cloud lifted from the Ohel Moed. The Jewish people broke camp and they set forth on a journey. Right? It's been said that this is the original GPS, the God positioning system. God conveyed to them when they would stay and when they would go.
How God would come to give instructions to do so.
How God would give the instructions to do so, the answer is by virtue of the cloud.
Or by the virtue of the cloud.
Yeah. The cloud would be on the Mishkan, the Jewish people would camp. The cloud would lift from the Mishkan, the Jewish people knew it was time to move.
So meaning the Jewish people, the camps were following the cloud?
The camps followed the cloud. That was God's way of communicating with them. That's how he told them when it's time to move. That says pretty clearly. Key, because this is the final verse of Parshas Pekudei in the entire book of Exodus, Sefer Shmos. Anan Hashem ala Mishkan, the cloud of God was on the Mishkan, Yomam, during the day. So during the day it was a cloud. Ve'esh tihiyeh loyla, and there was a fire at night. Le'enecho beis Yisrael, before the eyes of all of the children of Israel, the whole house of Israel. Bechol ma'aseihem, in all of their journeys. So this is your question answered. Because, how did they know when to go? Because there was a cloud. Because the cloud was on the Mishkan. The cloud was there during the day. At night you can't see a cloud. That's true. At night, there was a fire. And this was le'enei kol beis Yisrael, before the eyes of the entire house of Israel, so everybody could see this. They didn't have to rely on somebody else telling them, hey, did you see what happened? Everybody could see it. They looked at the Mishkan, they saw the cloud. The cloud would lift, they knew it was time to go. Very simple.
Moshe Rabbeinu, where is he?
Where is Moshe Rabbeinu? Mm-hmm. where did he camp?
He camped
in front of the Mishkan.
Well, Hashem spoke to the Jewish people and taught the Torah.
Hashem spoke to the Jewish people and Mass once, and that was at Har Sinai. Yeah,
and
he did not speak to the Jewish people afterwards. The Jewish people, for the remainder of the 8 Dibrot, of the 8 statements, heard God speaking to Moshe, but did not have the personal experience of God speaking to them. Subsequently, they did not hear the voice of God, but they did see the presence of God. And the emphasis here is that from this point and onward, they saw the presence of God. Now, you may remember that when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, what does it say? There was a cloud of glory. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. How did they know where to go? The front and the back was a cloud of glory. So what's the difference in the cloud of glory that was there then and the cloud of glory that's there now? It's the same thing. This has been the case ever since they became a nation, ever since they left Mitzrayim. So the Vilna Gaon actually asks this question. And he says a big chiddush. Doesn't say this anywhere else. He suggests that going out of Egypt, they did see a cloud, but that was only until the Reed Sea, just the first week of our national existence. Leave Mitzrayim, everybody saw a cloud. After the Reed Sea crossed, it was not Le'eni Kol Yisrael. So how did the Jewish people know how to travel? So it says only the prophets saw it. Moshe, of course, the greatest prophet. There were other prophets in the time of Moshe. So the prophets could see this. And it was only after Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem, as we read in Parshas Kisisa, V'neflinu ani va'amcha, that Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu asked that the Jewish people should be set aside, unique, separate, apart, and different, that God said, okay, you asked, I'm going to respond to you. And from that point and onward, that's when the cloud of glory was seen by the people.
Oh. Okay.
So that's why it says here that it was Le'eni Kol Yisrael. Now it says there was a fire. Was this really a fire? What was it exactly? And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time he saw the burning bush, he saw a fire, and the bush wasn't being consumed, and that really kind of disoriented him. And Moshe said, I have to come see this. The fire burns, but it doesn't consume the fuel. So was this the same fire? So the Ravam says it was not actual fire. He says this is not electrons released. He doesn't say those words, but that's, we know what fire is today. He said it wasn't actual fire. It looked like fire. It was a glow. In today's modern era, it's easier for us to understand this. There was this glowing on the Mishkan, this halo, this what seemed to be light. It was light that hugged the Mishkan, not a fire. The fire is a euphemism.
Makes sense.
Of course. Of course, it makes sense. A fire burning in the middle of nowhere, right? He said it was a fire. It was a light. They saw, and here's something interesting. The Sefarno says that the Anan was not there in the Mishkan of Shiloh when they first came to Eretz Yisrael. It was not there in the first Beis HaMikdash. And he said it's not even there in the second Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't there. The Jewish people never again saw the presence of God in an overt way. It says when you would come to the first Beis HaMikdash, you would see the presence of God. But they never could look at the Beis HaMikdash and say, there's the cloud. But it says, he says, when Mashiach will come, it will be that way. How do we know? Because it says, V'ani e'y lehem chaymas eish, I'll be for them a wall of fire. So he says, since it says, e'y lehem chaymas eish, I'll be for them a wall of fire, that's the same fire we speak of here. So during the first 40 years of our national existence, in many ways, the Jewish people had become exalted to the highest of levels, as is evidenced the fact they didn't eat, and they didn't need to buy clothing. They were living a miraculous existence. When Mashiach will come, it says that the neshama, instead of nourishing the body, it says that the body will nourish the soul, whatever that means. It means the source, the godly source of the body, will be even higher than neshama, in which case you won't have to consume actual food. Mm-hmm. Everything will be different. But this is a kind of a kindred kind of existence that the Jewish people experienced when they were going out of Mitzrayim. So that's the story of the journeys, the cloud, on the go, as it was in the Mishkan, where the Jewish people saw the presence of God, and then how they would journey forth, knowing that Hashem expected them not to break camp and to move. So what's the obvious question? What's the obvious question? This is the end of Chumash Mois. What's the climax of Chumash Mois? What's the ultimate goal of Chumash Mois? If Chumash Bereshis is about the development of a family, the family of the origins of the Jewish people, right, so we start off with humanity goes rotten, there's a great flood, and then Noah comes along, and it still doesn't work. And finally, so God says he's going to found a nation, which will be a light unto the nations, and that's how Avraham Avinu rises for, and Sarah Imenu. And then there's a development of the family, and we conclude the book of Exodus with the Jewish people firmly planted in Mitzrayim, like a seed planted in the ground. The family dissolves, and you reopen the next book, what happens? We read of continued dissolution until the point of germination and flowering growth, and we become a nation. What is the point of our nation? Where are we going with all this? To serve Hashem. And how are we going to serve Hashem? And what's the apex of serving Hashem? When God's presence is with us. Which eventually will, at the end of the book, brings us to the threshold of Eretz Yisrael. But God's presence being with us. Now, Chumash Bamidbar, Chumash Levayikra, Leviticus, speaks about what we do in the Beis HaMikdash and how we actualize Hashem's presence. And then Chumash Bamidbar returns to the stories of the journey. It picks it up on the 20th day of year. So Chumash Shemot concludes with God's presence is finally now amongst the Jewish people for everybody to see. And then in Chumash Bamidbar, we start the story of our journeys. And that spans 40 years. And then Chumash Bamidbar concludes just before going into the land of Israel. And then we have the longest sermon in history, Moshe Rabbeinu, who speaks to Jewish people 5 weeks, recaps the entire Torah and prepares them for their entry into the land of Israel and becoming a settled, regular, typical, so to speak, but of course, non-typical nation. Okay. So one could argue that the point of Chumash Shemois, the pinnacle, the ultimate goal is God's presence is now amongst us. So why are we talking about journeys over here? But what's the connection with the journey? It would seem that the ultimate goal and purpose here is that the Jewish people should actualize the presence of God. And this is not what we talk about journeys. Truth be told, the details of the journey are going to come out later in Parshas Baal Yischar. It was Al-Pi Hashem, Ubiyad Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had to give knowledge, got the knowledge with everybody else getting the knowledge at the same time the cloud lifted. Moshe Rabbeinu had to give instructions then. And then there's trumpets being blown. But all these details are going to be later on in Parshas Baal Yischar. It wasn't as simple as it sounds here. Cloud lifted and everybody just broke camp. So the Rebbe asks this question. Page Tuf Yud, Simon Yud Dalad, on here in the Beauty of Chumash. Mahwa Kesher Shal Psukim Elo. What is the connection between these Psukim? Let's take a look in Rashi first. You know what? Let's take a quick look at the final Rashi. Le'eni Kol Beis Yisrael V'chol Ma'aseihem. The last Rashi of the Parsha and the Sefer. So the Anon was not on the Mishkan at the time when they were journeying, right? Only at the time when they broke, when they settled. As it says, when they journeyed, the cloud lifted. So Rashi says, "B'chol masa shahayu noisim," in every journey they undertook, "Hayah ha'anan sheichen b'makayim ad ashayach nusham," the cloud would settle in the place where they would eventually stop. "Makayim chaniyosan afu kari masa," in which case Rashi is explaining that here it says, "Anan Hashem ala mishkan," that the cloud of glory of Hashem is on the mishkan by day and by night it's glowing. And it's Le'eni Kol Yisrael, B'chol Ma'aseihem, but it shouldn't have said in all the journeys, it should have said B'chol Machaneihem, in all their campings. Because the glory is on the go when they're on the go. And it only settles when they settle. So why does it finish off with the words of all the journeys? So Rashi says, M'koim Chaniyosan, Afu Korimasa. The place where they broke camp, the place where they settled, that's also a journey. The places they camped are also part of the journey. V'chein, similar, with regard to Avraham Avinu, the first Jew, when he's returning to Eretz Yisrael from the land of Mitzrayim, it says, Vayelech l'masov, Avraham Avinu returned to the land of Canaan, and he went along the same stop, the same areas he stopped on the way down, he stopped on the way back up. And Rashi says, finishes off, Lefi shememekoyim hachanoya chazru v'nosu. It's from the place they stopped that later became the place from which they left. So they went from point A to point B, but point B didn't just become a destination for stopping, it also became the launching pad for the journey to point C. So therefore, that's why it's called Chanoya. So we finish off with the message of journeys, and there's an emphasis that even when they stopped, that's part of the journey. So the Rebbe says, what is the connection of this whole business to our Parsha? And really you could say to the whole book. In Yonah, the Parsha, Inyan of Parsha's Pekudei, is the concept of Hakamas HaMishkan, establishing the Mishkan, and the notion of Hashtaras HaShchina. That's what this is about. So we should have heard about the cloud, especially in Aderes Eliyahu, what the Vilna Gaon says, that this was only now that they began to see the presence of Hashem. They saw it the first week, and they didn't see it afterwards. And only because Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Niflinu," only now the Jewish people begin to see the presence. It's a cloud during the day, it's a fire or it's light at night. It's only now. Okay? So if it's only now, so then we should hear about that. We should hear about the cloud settling, about how they camped. They camped with the presence of Hashem in a very visible way. Instead, we hear about journeys. So the Rebbe suggested that this addition, the addition of not only hearing about the presence of God when they camped, but also hearing the way they journeyed, this is Bo Lilamed Heira Ba'Avedas HaBeira. This comes to teach us a very powerful and important lesson in our service to Hashem. And the lesson is this. When a person reaches a very lofty level of achievement, he attains a high level of accomplishment in his serving Hashem. For example, he actually put up a mishkan. He actually created a mechanism, a convention that houses nothing short of the presence of Hashem. That's very impressive. It's an enormous achievement. Not only he created a mechanism for Hashem's presence, an envelope in which God's presence dwells, but furthermore, Kvod Hashem Milias HaMishkan. Like it says in verse 34 and 35, the glory of God fills the Mishkan. You created this Mishkan and it's actualized. The glory of God is there. A person might think, I don't have to keep moving. I finally got there. I had a goal. I got my goal. My goal was the presence of God. My goal was Kvedishem Milius Anan. I'm there. I got there. I can now take a rest. Now I can sit back. We had a goal, right? Got your goal. Okay. Enjoy. Sit back and relax. The Pasuk comes along and says to us, my dear friends, don't make that mistake. It could be after having accomplished building a Mishkan. You built a Mishkan. The glory of God is actualized in your Mishkan. And you might think that the Jewish people settled down. No. They didn't stay in one place. The glory must always be on the go. And in fact, the glory is in being on the go. When that cloud lifted, the Jewish people knew it was time to journey again. It was time to take it to the next level. Cannot stay where you are. A person can never stay in one place. So if you want to know what the definition of success as a human being is, keep moving. Keep moving. You always have to have aspiration. You always have to want to accomplish something else. Rashi adds in a very important idea here. Even when you do have a moment of rest, that's part of the journey. Not only is this not a final destination, not only this should not serve as a place where you settle down and I'm done. I accomplished everything. I moved forward. I had a goal. Goal has been achieved. That you have to, after reaching this goal, you have to then set yourself a higher goal, a new goal. Furthermore, not only that, not only when after I have a goal achieved, that I have to then set new, higher, and more glorious goals. But gama chanoya, even this darga haruchnis atzma, even this level, nalis kechoshati, a lofty as it may be, ein necheshevus el lechelik ma'amasa, it's only part of the long journey. It's just another point in the journey. Masa yishal Yehudi, the journey of God, where does a Jew journey to? What are a Jew's journeys comprised of? Where are we going? The answer is Dveikus Bebeire, to cleave unto Hashem. That's where we're going. And this is something that has to be Nimshach Lalei Heref. This is something that has to continue Kol Yimei Chayav, all the days of a person's life.
So in our dealing with God, we should be Mahalchem and Arondim.
We should always be Mahalchem and Arondim. We should always be surging ahead. And that is not only how Parshas Pekudei ends, that is the ultimate message of Parshas Shmos. What does it mean to be a nation? What does it mean to be a Yid? What does Hashem expect of us? The answer is Michael El Choyel. And on that we say, Chazak, Chazak, Venit Chazek.
Thank you.